Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I was listening last night to the Comedy Arts, remember? Can you tell me what? And I was thinking about the influence that the 80s had in music on me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and I was thinking about my mum and dad. And, you know, they don't seem to have had any influence of music at all. It's weird.
With them, like as if...
Yeah, like my dad likes a bit of Elvis, you know, and his favourite song is... My dad's favourite song is Rhinestone Cowboy.
Rhinestone Cowboy, yeah.
That was like a Rhinestone Cowboy. We used to say like a well-hung cowboy, which is really wrong. I shouldn't have done that. it doesn't seem like he was really influenced by any... I mean, the 80s music really, really...
And it had an impact on you. But yeah.
Because, I mean, when I get up in the morning, I go outside.
Their age group.
Their age group. But when I get up in the morning, because there's certain things, obviously, influences in our lives, you know, what we're talking about values. Yeah. Our values are built around music is a big value of mine. Yeah. I get up in the morning and I put on music and me and Ange dance around the kitchen and the girls are like, oh, you know, like, come on, babe, this is the shoulder dance. You know? And the kids get all embarrassed, but Ollie gets up there and he jumps up and down like a lunatic. But it's funny how certain things influences in our lives. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And you know, we question certain things about ourselves in our lives as we get older based on what happened back there. So, which I think kind of leads us into... So music is a big value of mine. Yes. Is it a value of yours?
Yes, absolutely. Do you know how I know? Because if I'm ever feeling not... Like, you know, if you're ever feeling down or whatever, I put on 80s music and instantly...
Do you?
Yep. That's one of my fixes.
Because you used to play the piano as well.
I used to play the piano too.
Because yes.
Enya never taught me how to play the piano.
I wasn't going to drop the Enya
bomb. I actually know how to play the piano. You could only do this. I used to have a piano before I moved into my apartment. But yeah,
So when I listen to music as well, it definitely uplifts me. So it picks up my vibration.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So therefore, if it picks up your vibration and we're talking about value systems, as music is a value and it lifts your vibration. So when you do what you love...
It's the same thing. Very good. Good segue.
Yeah.
Into talking about values. That was good.
Now take it away.
You hadn't planned that in any way.
No.
That just came out like that.
Yeah. But it's cool,
very
right?
No, absolutely. And it's true. So for me, knowing my values for me is about knowing what fills me up and what makes me tick and what makes my heart beat. Because when I know that, I know how to deal with anything else that's going on. So if I've had a rough day, right, and my values are, I love hanging out with kids, right, because kids do the same thing for me, like hanging out with children does the same thing. Listening to music does the same thing for me. Though if I know what those things are, what it is that makes me tick, then I go and I know how to combat the part of me that's feeling less inspired at a particular time or feeling flat for any reason, if that makes sense, you know. So knowing who you are and knowing what makes your heartbeat is important.
So we also know then, we also know that when we're doing what our values, it actually alters the physiology of the human form. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that concept?
Yes.
Can you reiterate just for the audience?
Because that's where, when you're doing what you love, that's when the glial cells are energize you. But I don't know how to.
Well, glial cells are the cells that. They're called glial, so the word glial is Latin for glue.
Yeah.
Glial cells are the broadcasting cell between each cell. So I think I'm probably about 80% accurate on this. I think that that's enough, Mitch.
Probably about 79.
No, that's enough. 79% accurate. That's when the glial cells, they're the cells that allow communication between cells. But they also now know that the glial cells are also the cells that are broadcasting into the atmosphere that are tangling with reality to bring it about. Yeah. So when we're in a state of love, when we're doing what we love, when we're living our highest values and we do what we love, those cells broadcast between each other, and there's a unison that happens. There's a synchronicity that occurs between the cells, and that's why we feel uplifted when we're doing what we love.
Because something's actually going on in the physiology of the body to allow that to happen, to make us feel energized and vitalized, etc.
So what does that say then about people who are unhappy? People who are depressed.
Well, we've had that conversation in those in the previous podcast, but it says that they don't know how to act, possibly how to access the things that they love, and perhaps they don't know how to understand what it is that they love, because I think that some people at some, I know for me, when we speak about values, some people go, well, I don't even know what my values are.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what my kids' values are. But the truth is, your values are evident when you know what, when you can see what lights you up. So your values actually are evident. So if you know that, you know, dancing, you know, for example, makes your heart beat and you feel alive in those moments, well, that's a value of yours, you know. Or if you know that music does that, or if you know that, you know, for me, connection is way up there. It's all, I think that's my number one, you know, connection. And various forms of connection, obviously, you know, that can occur in different ways. But so because connect, I feel that when I'm working. I feel that when I'm with my friends. I feel that when I'm with the kids, you know. So I get that in various forms. But connection itself is so important to me that if I'm feeling disconnected in any way, that I know that I'm not being myself. So I'm being another person. I'm not feeling... you know, lit up, if that makes sense.
So you're talking about connection and a state of community and
yeah, just feeling connected, you know. Right. Someone was talking, we've just had a seminar, you know, someone was talking about, you know, hanging about with people and, you know, having that small, those small talk conversations, right? I can do that for a time, but I can't do that for long periods of time, because if I'm doing that for long periods of time, I'm not feeling a deeper connection. Doesn't mean I have to always have deep and meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
It just means that I feel like I have that a bond or a community or.
But for me, excuse me, but for me with that stuff, right? What I love about that small talk stuff is, like, I really value having a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And I really value laughing about really stupid shit. You know?
I like, know, I've noticed.
Like, I've, you know, even in the office, like, if I can take a conversation down the road of stupid shit and we can get a good chuckle out of it, that really... So that allows me to feel like, I suppose, that everybody... is okay with everybody.
Yeah, but...
And that it, we don't have to take life as serious as we need to take it.
No, but
and
that's not...
But it also gives me a connection with someone. Does that make sense? Yeah, it allows me to feel connected.
That's my point, that it's making you feel connected. Because if I'm... I agree with you, because if I can have those conversations and the laugh conversations, but if you're just... If the only thing you're doing is, hi, how are you going? How is life? You know, and it's sort of backwards and forwards, and there isn't that, then it's fine, but only for a short space and time. So when you do that and you have that laugh with everyone, that is a form for me of connection.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, like I said, it doesn't have to be a deep and meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm. It just has to be a form of connection.
Because, I mean, we spend a lot of time doing, you know, so we're always balancing our sincerity with humor.
Exactly.
You know, and we're always on the phone. You know, I know I'm always on the border of inappropriate.
So many times I can be on the border of inappropriate.
But I just love pushing that envelope because I love how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think
humor, and what it gives you with the other person as well, right?
Connection is then very important. And I think connection is a high value for
a lot of people. Well, a lot of people I've come across that is. Mm. So, like, let's say they love travel, or let's say they love music, or let's say they love dance. Part of the reason they love it is either they feel connected with themselves or connected with other people.
Right? Well, I mean, I was thinking about it this morning, you know, and there's a lot happening in the world at the moment, both that we're all very conscious of, you know, but also at a subconscious level, everybody you talk to is feeling there's something, you know, happening. Mm. And, you know, we were talking about music earlier. Mm. And
All of 2 minutes ago.
And we were talking, see that cameraman with the hammer again? And so we were talking about, Poor Nathan.
I know.
He's the only one that trips above shit all of the time in the background. You know, he's so unprofessional. Anyway, I haven't. But I was thinking about the community, you know, global community, and the importance that music and plays with connecting people.
Yes.
You know, if we talk about the 60s, you know, there was what was that big gathering of people in the US?
Was it the 60s or 70s? Woodstock.
Woodstock. So yeah. You had Woodstock, which was a gathering. And, you know, there was this big thing about all these people gathering in California, mm-hmm. in the desert of Woodstock.
Yeah.
But that happens now, literally weekly, in hundreds of places around the world, all of the time. You know, and so I'm watching Rufus live in Sydney, and I'm watching Rufus play live in Sydney, and I'm just, you know, everybody's on each other's backs. And you were at Tomorrowland a couple of years ago, and I love that sense of connection. And then I was thinking about the camaraderie that goes on afterwards. You know, you go back to someone's house and it's just connection and taking the mickey out of each other and everybody having a good time. And then you take your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you go home and make mad passion and love to them, and then you think, wow, I just had a great weekend, because, you know, there was music, there was fun, there was, you know, there was dancing, there was connection, there was, you know, and then at the end of it there was just love. And and I think that, you know, that is it plays a huge role in this underlying murmur that we all feel, you know, that there is definitely a coming together at the moment.
Okay, so in terms of values, what was there a reason that we were going to
I think that people are always asking us, you know, how do I work out what my values are?
Well, that's important, yes.
So,
because that's what I was saying. I knew that there was a point I was missing. Because
it must have been all the marijuana we were smoking before we got on here.
Disclaimer: we were not. you know, so many people come and say, how do I know what my values are?
Okay, so we put everybody out of their pain.
Okay, do that.
We're going to put you out of your pain. So here's the way to do it. Okay, so the best way to do it is, and obviously there's a bit of a disclaimer here, this is not going to determine your top three values, which is where your wealth lies. Because most of the time, a person's seven values do not possess the top three values that are going to be where their wealth lies.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case, then they would be living your values, they wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Does that make sense?
This podcast might be their values. Don't say that.
No, but you know what I mean. It's like if you know, when you're living your values, you're just, I suppose you're right.
Yes.
But when you're living your values, you're doing what you absolutely love. Yeah. So as long as you're doing what you love and you're listening to this podcast, you're on track. Anyway, so I think that it's important to say that, because most of the time when we work with people, and we're building a vision and a mission for their lives, and they actually, we take them through a process, because you kind of got to trick the brain to reveal what their top three values are, because the brain just wants to live be as safe as possible. So your wealth lies where your top three values are. So let's work out what seven values you're running now in your life, and we'll show you how to do this. So basically, you write down the seven things, and when you think about a value, it's something that you do frequently. It's something that makes you...
Well, no, that's not true. It's not something that you necessarily...
Jesus, Amelia, am I ever going to get
this? Sorry. It's not that you're never going to... You don't always do it frequently.
Yeah.
It's something that makes your heart beat. So you might have given up dancing for the kids, but you know dancing makes your heart beat. So you can't say you do it all the time. Got
right.
it?
Yeah.
So things that make your heart beat.
Okay.
Things that, yes.
Yeah, something that you do that you love.
Yes.
You can do it. You can do it frequently.
You can be doing it frequently.
It's something that inspires you, makes you feel whole.
Yes, definitely.
Makes you feel connected. It's something that makes you feel when you do it that you're contributing. So you write down seven things that you feel are really important to you. So what could they be? Things like...
Like I said, we could say connection.
Family,
travel.
Travel.
Music.
Education.
Education is big for me too.
Cool.
Learning, teaching.
And you write those down and you imagine that you're in a boat and there's a leak in the boat. And so what you got to do is the boat is sinking. You're in the middle of the ocean. The boat is sinking. And as the boat fills up with water, the only way you're going to stop yourself from drowning is, or the boat sinking, is you've got to take one of the values and you've got to throw it out.
Mm.
So you throw out a value, now you're left with six values, so the water's still coming in, you've got to throw out another value. So you just keep doing
this. It's a
process
of elimination.
Elimination. And you do, it's cool to do it in terms of imagine that you're actually in that circumstance and really get into the feeling of, okay, I actually have to get rid of this from my life, and it's forever. You've got to get rid of it forever. So that it,
because it shows you how which ones have the more value to you or the more importance to you. Yes.
Yeah. Until you're left with three values, and they are the top three values that you're running in your life today. So they will be the things that allow you to feel nurtured, connected, whole, in a state of equanimity. They are the things that you've got to be doing as often as possible within your day.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are not always where your wealth lies. It's important to say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's
so the wealth. So the wealth you have in your life is only determined by the amount of values, but the three values that you're running.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
If you want more wealth, then you have to do something about the values that you're running, because the values that you're running are not bringing the vitality to your life that you require to be able to feel as if you're making a greater difference in the world.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool.
I think we helped everybody there, did we?
I think so.
We did the values thing.
Yeah, cool.
Staff will be happy. Tash will be happy, won't
Tash
she?
Will be happy with that.
Cool. Old Tashy Washy.
Yes.
Tashy Washy Washy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a new one. You do that. I do this. You do that.